Hello, this is Ruin Willow with the Oh, Fuck Yeah with Ruin Willow podcast. I'm excited you're here today. I have an amazing guest on my podcast. I talk about sex, sexuality, erotica, and this particular guest is Podophilius. He is an artist and the author of Triple Formed. He's a blogger and he runs sub-men support groups and has a kinky journal. He's a submissive male. Okay, forgot to do my disclaimer. If you're under 18, it is time to leave the podcast now, baby love, because we're going to talk about sex and submissive men. So, Podophilius is a submissive male, and he talks all about that on our chat, and he explores that. He has books out there, and he talks about his unique life, his unique marriage and relationship, and how he has come to this point, and how he manages his desires, wants, and reality. And it's really interesting to talk with him. If you are interested in this, you will definitely get a lot of answers and a lot of perspective from him. It's very, very intriguing, and he has a lot to say about how to support a submissive male and how to explore it if you are a submissive male. He has a lot of amazing things to say, and he calls himself an advocate for change. So it's really amazing, and I hope you stick around and learn more about him. He also talks about role play and being a submissive husband. He is an author and multi-syllable rhyming poet of the debut book, Triple Formed, a men's mental health supporter, and he helps men step into the next phase of their sexual exploration journey, assisting novice submissive males to delve into the world of kink and fetish and teach them how to respect sex workers. He encourages mindfulness and sexuality through self-love and self-acceptance. He inspires men to discover a deeper connection with themselves. Okay, he has a lot to share. Check it out. And before we get into the interview, I would like to announce, I'm so excited, I made it into the finals for the Golden Pigtails Smut Awards. These are works that were done in 2022 and were nominated by someone, and I made it through the semifinals. Thank you for voting for me, anyone who voted for me. And my anthology, Decadent Erotica, has made it into the finals. It's in the Dark and Taboo section, and you can vote for it now. It needs to be voted for by the 28th of February, because that's when the winner will be announced. I will put the link to that down in the podcast show notes. So please consider voting for me or vote for your favorite. There are amazing authors in there, erotica authors, erotic content creators, many amazing authors. So if you don't want to vote for me, vote for someone. Just participate and show your support for your favorite author. But mine is Decadent Erotica, and I would love it if you voted for me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing me out. Okay, let's get into the meat of this episode, which is talking to Podophilius. Hello, everyone. I'm really excited about this guest. This is a very interesting and intriguing guest, a type of guest I have not had yet on the show. So this is going to be really interesting. And I'm really excited to talk with him. And he's over in the UK. And his name is Podophilius. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me on your show. And I'm super excited to be on it.
I'm excited to talk with you too. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and about your book, and then we'll delve into just, you know, talking, and I'll have some questions, but, you know, this is going to be open. We can just talk about whatever the fuck we want, and you can swear. Obviously, I just said fuck, so, you know, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, let's fucking do this. I'm Podophilius, as you all know. The name came from me having a foot fetish. So podo in Greek is foot. It's pronounced as bodo. I'm actually Greek. So that's where I got the name from, and the philius is just whatever, really. It's like podophilia, it's foot fetish. Podophilius was, in a way, you can say remixed, just to sound a bit more different. So that's how the name came about. I'm a submissive man. I'm kinky. I've had a foot fetish since the age of 6 years old, and discovered had something related to water sports at the age of nine. I I kept it to myself for my whole life. Well, not my whole life. It went through the majority of my life. And so I got to around the, I think it was around about late, early 30s. I was about to get married and wanted to know what it was like to have a foot fetish experience. So I visited two dominatrixes, a one-off kind of sessions. I didn't tell my wife about it at the time. So I felt really guilty. So then I told her about it. So look, this is what's happened. I have a feet fetish. Visited two dominatrix. Really sorry. This is whatever. And I told her that I wanted to make it more of a thing, really, where it was like a monthly thing. And I really wanted to delve into it. She gave me her consent. And that was in 2019. And since then, I've been visiting various dominatrixes and having a kinky hell of a time. I've got to really just, you know, really like delve into the kink world. And it started off with feet. And now it's really gone into something totally different. Like, you know, pegging and sensory deprivation and, you know, this and that. And it's just role play. And it's crazy much opening your mind to something, how it escalates without even thinking about it, which is cool. So that's kind of my journey. And recently, so once I started sessioning, you know, on a regular basis in 2020, I wanted to do more for the community. I felt like there was more to me than just playing with doms. I wanted to, in a way, become an advocate for change for submissive men. I saw how growing up, how depressed I was and how it really made me, you know, mentally suffer in a way because I wasn't embracing it. And it took me so many years to actually come out of my shell and say, right, this is who I am. So I wanted to, you know, help other men, you know, who haven't really had the courage to sort of go to the next phase of their life and embrace who they are. So I've got my own website, got loads of blogs, interviews on there, advice, whatever you want to call it. And I've also created two submissive men support groups. Well, I'll say I created one on Twitter. And there's a guy in our group called Gimpy Pup, and he actually created the one on Discord, and then he just gave me the authorization to run it, I guess. So, yeah, and that's on that side. So at the moment, I'm trying to do my best for the community to help out all the submissive men and interview loads of people in the community to hear their voices, to educate those who might not know about certain topics or subjects within the community as well. My book, Triperformed, that is a very, how shall I say, it's a left field kind of book for the kink community. It's a book that is written in rap songs. I know it sounds kind of bizarre, but my style of writing originally before anything else was rhyming. And the book is, yeah, so that's how I was used to writing. I wasn't really used to writing blogs and stuff like that. You know, something that I had to learn, even interviews, something that I had to learn just, you know, just doing it, I guess. So the book is, it's called Triperformed, and it tells a man's journey, a fight with himself, basically. You know, it touches on subjects like trauma, mental health, but at the same time, the book can be very uplifting if you can read between the lines. It's not an easy book to follow because of its format, and it's one of those books where you really have to stick with it, pay attention, get to the end. And if you can get to the end of it, then I think you can potentially feel maybe a little bit enlightened from it. You know, well, yeah, it's one of those kind of books, I guess.
We'll be back after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure the man in your life grooms his carpets and his drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Have him clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch his confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and have him join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our special offer, go to manscaped.com and use code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, for the 20% off and free shipping. Have you ever been doing some oral pleasure and got some hairs in your mouth or your teeth? Well, Manscaped can help with that. Try being clean shaven for spring cleaning. After he uses Manscaped, you can say, let's get some busy with some spring fever in the bedroom. Try out Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It is an amazing trimmer that features two interchangeable heads, one for taking a little off the top and the new foil blade to go smooth. If you want to go smooth for spring cleaning, make sure you try out Manscaped products. Bring on those smooth skin, sexy slaps in the bedroom. And how do you do that? Use Manscaped products to shave clean down in your pubic area. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, all caps at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code RUIN at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in his pants, right? In your pants, if you're a man. Spring clean your groin area. Try smooth. Try it with Manscaped. That sounds very interesting. It sort of sounds like it's more like a graphic novel or like a comic book, right? Because it's not like a story, right? It's not like a story from a fiction story.
So it is a story, actually. So I don't know if you listen to much hip hop. Are you a hip hop fan?
I do know about hip hop. Yep.
Okay. Do you know who Kendrick Lamar is?
I'm not sure about that.
So Kendrick Lamar is one of the mainstream rappers, and okay. Every album he ever puts out is a concept album. So his albums tell a story from start to finish, but nice. He's just doing it. So he goes from one song to the next, but it all comes together. And this is what this is basically. It's, you know, it's basically written in rap songs, and it tells a story from start to finish. You know, it's not done in a way, though, where, you know, the story's easy to follow. It's got like flashbacks and it goes back into time, and it's more of a mind fuck in a way.
Right.
What is going on here? You know what I mean? Like, it's more of like delving into someone's conscience and trying to figure out what is going on in his head, where he is basically so fucked up. He's been through everything, all this shit, and he's trying to improve. He's trying to all these self-improvements. No matter what, he goes back to square one again, you know? Mm. You know, he keeps fighting and fighting and fighting. And then obviously, as time goes on, everything that he's been doing, well, you have to read the book, but has it worked or not? You know what I mean? So sometimes we do all these things, like we meditate, we do affirmations, and then we say to ourselves, are these things actually working for me? I'm reading self-help books. So am I actually getting better? Am I improving? And then it's like one day something can just hit you and you're like, whoa, shit. So it's like, yeah. It's like that, I guess.
That sounds really awesome. And what I really like about what you're saying is it's very unique. Like, I have never heard of a book like this. So this is just very cool, unique, and what a great voice and thing you've put into the world. I think that's fucking fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I also want to mention that it's more so illustrated as well. I didn't mention that. So when you said,
I was going to ask that. So you did the pictures? You illustrated?
No, I wish I could actually. I love art and I love comics, but it was illustrated by someone called Moan Scene.
Oh, nice.
Instagram. She's amazing. So all her books are illustrated. And
nice.
Sort of like the female version of myself. She's an advocate for, you know, sexual liberation for the females. And that's yes, even yes. men. And I came across her on IG, and I was just like, wow, I need to reach out to this person. And we had a good chat about it. She read the book. And we just kicked it off from there, really. And we just bounced off ideas.
That's awesome. So she did all the illustrations in the book then?
Yeah, she did the front cover. She did the layout of it. And she did every single
illustration
as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, does she do that as a profession or a side gig? Or is this just something like she's done the first time?
No, she's an illustrator and she's a writer.
Okay. Awesome.
So, yeah, she obviously works with various artists. I don't know if she's, you know, what other books she's done. And, you know, I own two of her books, and they're just so beautifully illustrated. Like, her artwork is phenomenal, is unique. It spoke to me. As soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, I need to contact this person. And then when I contacted her, I spoke to her, it almost seems like our creativity came together. You know, it's like we're gelling. You know, when you have a conversation with someone?
Yes.
Want to cut them short because you want to say something and you don't want to what you want to say. And then she was doing the same with me. So I was like, look, I've got I want you to draw anxiety because anxiety is a character in the book. I thought, oh, I've got a sick idea for anxiety. And I was like, oh, what is it? And then she would say this. And I'm like, oh, you know what, actually, how about this? And then, you know, there's a bit in the book about journaling. And I was like, you know what, when you do journaling, why don't you do a, you know, tears, and inside of tears you put like what he's feeling, like shame, this. And she was like, you know what, I've got this idea. And it was just like, it was so cool, you know. She was really fun to work with.
Well, you guys had a great synergy, it sounds like.
Abso-friggin-lutely. Hell yeah.
I love that. It's so cool. That's just awesome. So what I would like you to talk about is how, so you say you started to experience these things as a young child. Do you feel like it's something that, and I've talked to other people about this type of thing before, so I'm curious what you have to say. Do you feel you were born this way, or do you feel like it developed because of experiences you had in your youth?
Funny enough, I'm writing a new book at the moment, and that's one thing that's been addressed in there, because it's a real conversation I had with someone who was actually against homosexuality and transgender. You know what I mean? We got into this kind of thing. And this is what caused sort of a separation between me and my family, actually. I don't speak to half my family, but this was the spark of it, where he was saying that it wasn't normal, and it was, you know, and yeah. It's a very interesting question. In the book, I just break down the conversation I had. I don't give an answer to it. I don't know if we're born to have, like, there's something that happens in our childhood, because I speak to so many submissive men on a daily basis. And I speak to them a lot about this kind of subject, you know, like, you know, when did your kink start? When did your fetish start?
Right.
And so many people come out with 4, 6 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. It's always that childhood, you know what I mean? So I don't know what, like, I kind of, if I was to pinpoint where it even came from, I don't even know. Like, I remember my mum saying that when I was really little, and I don't know if you remember this, but I think I was like 4 or 5 or whatever it is. I used to go under the table and grab like people's feet and stuff. I don't even remember that. You know, but you know, thinking of that, just like, did something happen there in my childhood? But you know, obviously, isn't there a thing that they say that before the age of 7 something gets, you know, sticks in your brain for the rest of your life? Did something happen then? But it's quite hard to answer that question, to say whether you're born with it. I don't know if anyone's born with anything, but maybe something sparks in them and they realize something. I don't know. Could it be from a past life even? You know what? Fuck knows.
I know.
There's something there.
It's really interesting. And I did this article where I interviewed 3 different DOMs, and they were all male DOMs. And I asked all 3 of them if they felt like they were naturally born this way, if it's just like their natural instincts. And all 3 of them believed that they were born this way, that it was just a natural thing for them. And they didn't. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting that they, all 3 of them, felt that way. And I think it's very interesting. And I don't know the answer either, but I find it very, very intriguing and fascinating. And I don't know. I wish I knew the answer. Maybe somebody does somewhere.
I was going to put a question on you and ask you.
I don't know. I think that people are born with an orientation, because, like, I don't feel like people are made into gay people or queer people or lesbians. I feel like it's just innate. So I just don't know if the dom and submissive is also innate, but I do feel like that is, because I don't feel like, I mean, you know, I'm bisexual myself, and I haven't really acted on the female side of interacting with women, but I don't feel like anything pushed me into that. I just felt like it just was a natural light bulb that went on with me, like when I was 13, like, oh, wait a minute. Wow, I'm attracted to both sexes. You know, like, it wasn't anything that, like, formed me into that. It was just almost like an awakening, like, oh, wait, whoa, you know? So I don't know. I mean, and I could be wrong, but that's the way I feel about it. I don't feel like I was, like, conditioned into being bisexual. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And how old were you when you realized that?
I would say it was in middle school.
So you're about, what's middle school?
Like 15? Around 13, maybe.
13. Yeah. It's interesting, because it's like, how would a 6-year-old, or, you know, someone so young, like even a 4-year-old or an 8-year-old, get hooked on something like feet?
Exactly. How does that happen?
Exactly. And me having, even, I remember having a dream about water sports. So it's more like a fantasy dream, like a wet dream, about women, you know, tying me up and peeing on me. And I was like all excited. And I went downstairs and told my dad about it. had I had this dream, and it, you know, he just looked at me and was like, well, that's disgusting. What the hell? You know, right? So, you know, imagine, look, they're telling you that you're going to say that. And after that, I stayed hush about that. I never said that to
anyone. Oh, yes.
And it was only like, when was it? I think it was last year, was it? I think it was last year was the first time I experienced water sports. No, it wasn't last year, the year before that, 2000, yeah, because all that time I was like, I can't do that. And then, and you know, it was, you know, it stayed in my brain like that was wrong. And then I was like, you know what, maybe for me to have that dream and think about it, and it's in my mind, it gets me excited if I do think about it. But I didn't even watch any porn about it. I just literally deleted it from my brain for like so many years. But then I think I saw like something came up about it, and it, I felt like a bit of excitement. I was like, why am I feeling excitement? Maybe I should just go with it.
Right.
And then, so I did.
I think it's interesting because, yeah, I was shamed for masturbating when I was in elementary school, and it totally shaped the way I masturbated, and it shaped the way my sexuality was for like decades, you know, and finally I broke free of that. But it's interesting how, for me too, it was from parents. It was the way that they treat you, then just like it shuts that part down. You find different ways to deal with it, but they're not necessarily healthy, but you're kind of hiding it, and it's giving you a lot of shame. And I think it's really sad that all it takes, and for me, it was one sentence from my mom that impacted my sexuality for the majority of my life so far until I broke free of it. That's disturbing.
It is. And it's kind of a hard one on a parent as well. Like, it depends what they say. Like, from my dad, for example, say, that's disgusting. I can get that from a parent. It's pee. Yeah. It's not something that you're used to. You know, like, if it's my, I don't know, like, in your situation, I'm not sure if you said, like, you like girls or whatever, then someone said, that's disgusting. That's just wrong. You know what I mean? You can't tell a child that. You know, they should be free to explore with who they want, kind of thing. So, but I think we live in a funny kind of society because we've got this whole massive kink community, fetish community, who all support each other, egging each other on, which is fantastic. And it's crazy when you go into that world and you delve into it, you see how supportive people are. And then you've got the other side of the spectrum where you've got people that just, you know, like my whole family think I'm like, they hate me right now.
Right, you know, right, yes.
I got along with them, all like, had a family, cousins and everything, that I never had one argument with them in 38 years, whatever it's been. One argument. And now they fucking can't stand me. And they think that I'm some kind of sick fuck. And, you know, they're reading my blogs and everything and thinking, what the fuck is this guy doing? So I don't talk to them, they don't talk to me. But they think of me differently. So the person that they once saw me as, I've now changed. I'm not that nice guy anymore. I'm not the person who made them laugh. I'm not the person who used to drink with them, cook with them, do all those nice things. I'm not that loving person anymore. Now I'm a sick bastard. You know what I mean? But it's crazy how people's mentality changes and their views change, you know, just by one thing. And it's like you're one person, and now all of a sudden you're like this horrible person, this horrible human being. And now they've just painted you in a totally different picture.
It's really sad, and it's really fucking stupid because you're still the same person. I hate all these people out here who are like that. They're judgmental. You're still the same fucking person.
Exactly. But I think when you get older and you embrace it, it's different. So I was like pissed when I first heard about it. And you know what I mean? I was just like, what the fuck, man? I really wanted to go at it. Just like, I mean, loads of shit happened with it as well. You know, they tried to financially like destroy me and all that kind of shit. He went crazy. Ah. Like, you know, he went crazy, I think. But, you know, thinking of it now, I was just like, you know what? In a way, it made me feel, it opened my eyes, because I was like, if you couldn't accept me back, if you were cool with me then, and now you're not cool with me now because I've changed, then you were never family in the first place. You were hiding behind something. And there was something faking, there was something faking you guys. Because at the end of the day, you know, if my best friend came up to me and said, whatever to me is this, that, and I didn't understand it, you try to understand things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's crazy how people, you know, they look at, in a way, it's like kinks, certain, like if you're like a bigot and you're looking at a kink star, it's almost like they're referring to us as like we're equivalent to sexual predators. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a bit like that. It's a bit like you've done something wrong. Oh, shit, you have people.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a sexual predator. No, fuck you, I'm not. I do this with consent and she does it with consent. You know what I mean?
It's exactly. Like, at
the
end of
the
day,
that's the difference. And the funny thing is that you got all these people who are not kinky motherfuckers, but then they're going around cheating on their wives and their partners, and they're doing all these crazy shit. So they're the bigger hypocrites than we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And they're the judgmental people. And You love a person for who they are, not what they do. And that's where I think it's disturbing. If you're losing family that don't want to talk to you anymore, that's just fucking BS, man. That's fucked up. Yeah,
it's in a way, you know, I think sometimes you need to get rid of the shit without realizing the shit's in front of your eyes. If that makes any sense. You don't know, like, it's there and it's bad for you, but you think that it's all cool, but it's not. So sometimes it's like that needs to go for you to then just carry on doing what you're doing without judgmental eyes on you all the time.
Yeah. And I feel like it's something that is very common amongst people who, as they're growing older, it like doesn't happen. Some people, when they're younger, they can get into that kind of stuff. But for a lot of people who've been shamed or hurt, or they don't really accept themselves until they're a little bit older. It's not happening at 21 years old. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
For some people it is, but there are many that is not. And then it's like around midlife, sometime people are like, they like wake up, or they decide they don't care, or they decide, you know what? I'm confident in who I am. This is what I'm going to do. I don't care what you say. So in a way, it's kind of a beautiful thing that you can be who you want to be and feel comfortable in that. And I think the kink community totally, they're so much more accepting. And it's just interesting how people are just so different in and out of the kink community.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, I was speaking to my wife because I'm starting to do a lot of podcasts, and I wear a hood to obviously protect her, my family and everything. And I was just like, I'm fed up of wearing a hood. I don't want to wear a hood. I just want to be who I am.
Yes.
Like, what if the parents of our kids, like schools, find out? Then what? What if her family find out? They don't know. What if friends find out? Then what? So what if all of a sudden everyone finds out, then I'm some sexual predator, then the whole world, like everyone around me hates me. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you're getting along with people. I shouldn't have this fear in me, but there is that fear, and we can be a real guy. I could be like, yeah, I don't care. I want to be who I am. I'm going to be who I am. But at the end of the day, when shit hits the fan and people don't want to talk to you anymore, and it's people that you're close to, and they're all talking and gossiping about you, you're like, damn, you know what? I'm just a kinkster, man. I'm not a bad person.
Exactly.
You know, it's fucked. But I think, you know, in a way, everything's a learning curve for you. And I think this is why I'm on such a mission of advocate for change. And I want to open, you know, I want to spark people's brains and say, right, you might not be into this shit. That's fine. But at least be open-minded. At least be accepted. If you don't want to accept people for it, just let them do it without judging them. And you crack on with doing what you got to do. You know, and that's why I'm so focused and you're, you know, of trying to do something, you know, to help. I don't know, you know.
I think it's great that you're doing that. Yes, because we just really need to shed all this judgment that we do. And it's just, I think it's just awful that we're so judgmental. And you know, a lot of these people probably have hidden kinks that they haven't accepted in themselves. And, you know, that can be part of what I think it can be part of what their hate is coming from, because they see you and you're doing what you want and you're accepting your kinks, and they have these hidden kinks that they're ashamed about. And so they're going to just throw hate on you.
Absolutely. You know, you never know what goes on in anybody's mind. So that can be very true what you're saying, you know.
So is your wife into any of this, or is it completely separate for you? Like, is she? No, she's not into.
She is complete vanilla. You know, it's like, no, my wife ain't into anything, you know. But we did a bit of feet play before, you know, I started visiting doms, but she was really into it. And that's why I wanted to visit them. So I just said, look, I can see you're not into this shit. It's cool, you know.
Can I visit? That's why you go to the doms?
Yeah, we can crack on doing our thing. But yeah, you know, she likes intercourse and all that kind of stuff, but she's not kinky, you know. That's why I visit doms. And yes, we got the balance there, because, you know, I do, you know, I have my thing with my wife and then play with doms differently.
I love that she's open to that and that she's accepting of that. That's good for her, because there's some people that wouldn't do that for their spouse or their partner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I'm impressed with her.
it was difficult. And I think, you know, it's been one of those things where it's, you know, I wanted to explore more over the time. So I became more sexually explorative. And, you know, at the beginning, it was just feet. And then when it became to like pegging and water sports, she was like, wait, hold up, what's going on here? You know what I mean? So I had to like keep asking her for consent if it was okay to do these things and explain every new kink to her. And, you know, we, at the beginning, it was very hard, like, you know, try to explain. And I totally, certain things she just said no to. She's like, look, you're crossing the line now, no. And I was like, cool, no. So now, like, with the way, because I did all sports without telling her and told her afterwards. And then after that, we agreed that, you know, I was like, look, I'm sorry, I fucked up. But now, whatever I do, I'm just going to run it by you. You say, yeah, I do. If you say no, I don't do it. So the last, okay. You know, I had a kink that I wanted to explore. She said no to it. So I was just like, all right, cool. No worries.
Okay. So you guys came to a collaboration or a compromise. I guess that's the best word for it.
Absolutely. I don't want to be doing anything behind my wife's back. You know, I didn't.
Right, right.
Like, that's what I told her in the first place. You know, I didn't want to be one of these guys that's, you know, going visiting doms, doing all these kinky stuff, then going home and kissing my wife, and then, you know, she doesn't know nothing, you know.
Right.
That's not a way to live life, you know. It's sneaky. It's not, you're not being real to yourself. You're not being real to the person you married. So I think the only way that this was going to work, if I was totally front and honest, you know, she asked me what I got up to in the session. I say how it is. I got pegged. I did this. I got that. You know what I mean? She says, who are you visiting today? This is the mistress. You know what I mean? She knows what they look like, who they are. You know, she knows the whole deal, what goes on. She knows, well, before I book a session, I'm like, babe, I want to book a session this day. You free? Have we got anything planned? No, cool. I'll book the session then. You know?
Yes.
You know,
well, what I love is that she's letting you be who you are within her. You know, she's got her boundaries, but she's obviously being a little bit flexible, and you're doing the same thing back to her. And that's beautiful. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Yeah, I think the compromise we found, it works.
That's good. So I would love to talk about, for you to talk about, not me, because I don't know this stuff. What are some misconceptions people have about submissive men, and how are they completely wrong? How would you address that question? I know there's a bunch of things that are misconceptions.
There's loads of misconceptions. First of all, like, we're doormats. We're a bunch of doormats. We're losers. We're weak. You know, we don't have our own minds. You know, we're pushovers. You know, so, you know, people have this certain, you know, perception of us, you know, that we're just going to do what the hell we, you know, they're going to do what the hell they want to us because we're submissive. And that's not the case. You know, you've got different kind of submissive men. You've got some submissive men who are completely submissive in their lives and, you know, in their day-to-day lives and in the dungeon. And you've got other people who are not actually submissive. They're probably more kinksters, you know, where they're kinky fuckers, but they don't really like to, you know, they might submit, but they might want to submit to certain things. You know, you have someone who's completely submissive and does whatever his mistress tells him to. So there's a difference. It depends on what type of submissive that person is, but that's in the dungeon. But the misconceptions is how they you know, view us outside of the dungeon. And, you know, we're just deemed to be, you know, it's like, also, you might find people talking down to you if they find out you're submissive. I remember speaking to someone, and he was like a dom, he was a switch. And he said, when he used to speak to someone as, like, say he was submissive, they used to talk kind of down to him, you know, kind of rude. And when he used to say he was a dom, they used to basically, you know, change the way that they used to speak to him. You know, it's kind of crazy, like, you know, when someone's views might change when they know you're submissive.
I don't think that's a true dom. If there's someone who starts to talk down to you and they find out that you're a submissive, I don't think that person's a real dom. I think they're a fake dom.
Yeah, you know, some do and some don't. You know, to be honest, like, you know, I would say 98% of doms have been very respectful to me. You know, I can't, you know, say, you know, I've probably had like one dom who's been, you know, probably kind of rude to me, I would say. But apart from now, all the rest of them have been very respectful, really nice. And
right.
But when I say that, it's not my stories. It may be like some other people said that, you know, that someone spoke a bit down to them, you know, for being that. So, you know, my story of Don's is very different. You know, they've always been respectful to me. So I can't really say that apart from one, I would say.
Right. Yeah, I know some people feel that, you know, a submissive is also someone who They could be someone who has a big job or a lot of responsibilities in their life, and they just don't want that in the bedroom. They want to be directed. They want to be, you know, told what to do. And it also, I've also heard too, you can correct me if these are right or wrong, that some people have so much shame about sex that if they are put in the position where they're forced to do something, they can actually relax and enjoy the sexual release more than if they aren't in that situation.
Absolutely. It's like you get a lot of like managing directors, like company owners, and you know, they got such hard jobs and such big responsibility. They, you know, mm-hmm. their day-to-day lives is all about control, controlling staff, making sure that they're doing this shit. Funny enough, I was a manager for like nearly like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I manage people in my day-to-day runnings, but, you know, but when it comes to, you know, what I'm into, I want to be, you know, controlled, and, you know, it's different. And I think sometimes, you know, letting go of that control is a nice thing, because it's like you might be bound and gagged and restrained, but your mind is free and you let go and then you enter subspace. You know, it's right. nice mm-hmm. when you think about it. You know, just think
about absolutely. That,
you know, chained in one way but free in another. You know, so it's just that whole letting go thing sometimes, and just letting someone do their thing with you and just submitting. And I think letting go is a big thing to any submissive, actually, regardless whatever submissive you are. If you go into a session and your mind is somewhere else, and that's happened to me before, you ain't going to enjoy the session. You know, some people, I got an email from someone, you know, recently, and he said that he wasn't really able to fully enjoy the experience because he wasn't able to let go. You know, so he went into his first session, but because he had so many things on his mind and he wasn't able to let go, he couldn't fully enjoy it. And then when he left the session, it almost felt like it was surreal, like it never happened in the first place. He said, as he found the Dom from my website, he said, and he was like, I want to book another session. What advice would you give this time around? You know what I mean? And I said, just let go. I said, just let go. You know, go into it, you know, with pure gratitude. Maybe write a gratitude list of everything you were happy about, you know, about that Dom before you went into the session. You know, go in there with gratitude. Go in there with an empty mind. Clear that mind of yours. Empty that bowl of yours in your head. And just go, you know, and don't think about it too much. Just let it be. Don't think about how it's going to play out, you know. I've done that before, you know, and it's, and if it doesn't go your way, it's like, well, you know, and sort of like throws you off guard, and then, you know, not the session that you visualized, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's not what you wanted, and then it creates bad experiences.
Yeah, I would imagine if he came up with some sort of like process or like meditation or did some things to try and clear his brain, or, you know, just maybe if he's having a really big problem in his life, maybe he postpones the session. Well, you know what I mean?
He did it in the second session, and when he emailed me back, he said he let go and he reached subspace, and he said
he had an
amazing session. So he managed to pull it through in the second session, which was really, I was so like chuffed to hear that for him. Like letting go is kind of difficult, you know, so for, you know, especially like, I'm an overthinker, as my brain is always going on sometimes, so I have to like, you know, really, you know, calm myself down, meditate before a session. And, you know, when you've got an active brain, you know, you have to find ways to slow it down.
Yep, absolutely. So I would love, I've talked to a few other people about subspace. Will you talk about subspace
absolutely.
And your experiences? Okay,
awesome. Sure. Well, I've had two different types of subspace. I'm completely different from each other. The experiences, you know, are nothing alike. So the first experience was, it was like a floaty kind of experience of, I think it's kind of a common one. You feel like it's like all time is being lost, and, you know, you're just like in a whole different world. Then you just wake up and you're like, what the fuck am I? You know, and you realize that you're like, you'll be, you know, you're in a dungeon, wherever, like literally it's like everything just got lost. Like you're so in the zone, and it's almost like you're born in a zoo, and, you know, you just feel so relaxed, and then your brain just goes into this place of pure bliss. And that's what the first experience felt like. And the second experience, I was doing a double Dom strap-on session, and my body started really shaking. And then I started crying, like loads of tears started coming out.
Yes.
And then And I couldn't control it. Like, it was literally uncontrollable. Like, my body was shaking, tears were coming. And the dom's like, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, no." So, like, I was trying to, I couldn't really speak either. I couldn't even say any, no words would come out. And they, like, really, like, worked, like, you know, really well to calm me down, my body down. And then after that, it's completely just relaxed. And yeah. But yeah, it was the most bizarre kind of subspace I ever had. I don't understand it to this day. Trying to make sense of it, really couldn't make any sense of it because I've had other pegging experiences and never experienced that before. So still don't get it, really.
It's very interesting. Do you feel like it's, how closely related do you feel like it is to being hypnotized, or have you never been hypnotized?
I've never been hypnotized, so I'm not really too sure what hypnotized, what it feels like. So I wouldn't be able to answer that question, unfortunately.
Were you conscious the entire time? I mean, were you aware that you, where you were, or were you completely just like out of it, like almost like you were under influence of something that you weren't even aware of where you were? Were you aware?
The first one, 100%, I didn't know where I was. Like, it was like I was under the influence. And the second one, my body, the way it was uncontrollable, it's almost like it was possessed. It was like,
wow. You know,
the way that I couldn't stop the tears, you know, the way that I couldn't stop the shaking, you know, it's like something had got inside of me and I don't know what happened. You know, I mean, there was, I don't know, I get some kind of essential feelings about people sometimes as well. You know what I mean? It's really bizarre. You know, so I don't know. Maybe it was some energy that was getting from something. I don't know.
How did you feel after both times? Was it positive feelings or negative after you came out of the subspace?
After that, we had the session was really good after that. We just carried on. We could carry on with pegging and it was cool. We had a wicked chat after. I think I stayed after that session for like 2 hours just chatting with him. The session was done and we ended up being there for like 2 hours just chatting for such a long time. So like after that, I felt cool. The next day, I was just a little bit confused by it all. And, you know, you get to that like subspace. Well, subspace is gone now, but more like a sub-drop kind of thing because of that confusion.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice. They both checked up on me, make sure that was cool. And then, yeah, a day or so afterwards, I was fine.
Did you feel like you were refreshed, like waking up from sleeping, or did you just feel relaxed or pleasant? I mean, you said confused, but did you feel relaxed, like you just woke up from sleeping, or was it not like that?
In a way, yeah, it was like something like triggered something, and then it sort of woke me up and made me realize, like, you know, I'm here, like, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was just weird.
Interesting.
Different, you know, different. So I had an experience. And like, so I guess it was just different for me, different experience.
Sure. So do you ever feel dominant in the bedroom, or you pretty much feel like it's just always submissive, or can you like make your brain go towards a more dominant role sexually?
Funny enough, when I'm with my wife, I feel like I want to be dominant with her sometimes.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's. And like, I never really got to experience it because she's, you know, like, I want to get like more aggressive, like pull her hair, like grab it. And I have like done it during like sexual intercourse sometimes. I just grabbed her and she's like, "Ah," when I was like, "Oh, sorry." You know what I mean? Like, too hard. But like, you want to go and grab the throat. So I notice these little things that I do, or bite her nipple a bit too hard. And, you know, I can see that side of me. Let's really like slap her off like really hard. And then I'm like, "Oh, watch." And then she was like, "Okay." Yeah. So I see I've got that side to me. But because she's not into that kind of thing, I haven't really been able to explore it. So I've just left it kind of thing. You know what I mean? But I do see that there is maybe that kind of dominant side to me.
I think it's fascinating. I mean, you're so open to all different parts of your brain. It's just so interesting to me that how interesting is that? That you have that many multifaceted areas within your brain and personality, and that you can go different places and you could enjoy in both different places. That's like just totally fascinating psychology. And I think it's fantastic that you can sort of, I mean, I know you can't exactly exercise that with your wife, but you're aware of it. You know, it's there, you feel it, and you know, it exists within you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think once you open your mind to the world of kink, insane how explorative one can be. Like, I started off with just feet. It was like more stinky feet, like foot gagging. And then through the foot gagging, I figured out that I would really enjoy something like face fucking. You know, because it's still gagging. And obviously, you can go deeper, so you can get more of a gagging sensation from it. So I ended up for a while preferring a face fuck to a foot gag, because I can get more of a sensation of the gag, you know, from it. And then it's like, it's crazy, but sometimes I'm just in the mood for like that, you know, something like kind of raw, like kind of thing, like hard pegging, you know, like face fucking, hair grabbing, slapping. And other times I feel like I don't really want that. I want to be more sensual play, like more tease.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So it's really, and when you play with various DOMs, you find that they have so many different styles. Like, some people do humiliation so well, they love it. And other people are so sensual and they love that kind of stuff. So there's different DOMs that do different things. And this is where, as a submissive, when you go out and try and find a DOM, you need to find a DOM that resonates with you. You know what I mean? And, you know, it can be a difficult thing as well.
Oh, absolutely. And this is so interesting to me, because I've actually just, for the podcast, I've just interviewed two different female DOMs. So, you know, it's just really interesting to, after talking with them, to talk with you. So this is just very interesting to me. And I think it's just, it's great to put out there. I think it's fantastic. So
absolutely. It's
very intriguing. So also, do you have, or no, this is what I want to ask before that. So are you into, since you like the foot fetish, are you into any of the like the giantess erotica?
No, I'm not actually. No, I'm not into, it's more, I'm into like sweaty, stinky, human feet. They can be grubby.
Not necessarily like big feet, like on a giantess.
Videos and stuff like that. They look really interesting, but it's just not my, it's not
That's
my
not
kink.
Your kink. Yeah. Gotcha. And so are there, when you, do you have in your mind, like, I'm just so curious about how people are like this. Do you have in your mind places you don't want to go to? Or are you like one of these people that are just really so open that you would try any kink?
It depends. Like, I'm not into stuff like excessive pain, like corporal punishment and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And all that kind of stuff. So there's certain things I don't enjoy. There's even certain humiliation tasks I don't really enjoy as well. So sometimes, you know, humiliation can... You know, you can really, like, sometimes really love that kind of stuff. And, you know, the humiliation task, you know, there's so many various different types. And some of them, I might not really be into that kind of thing, to be fair. Maybe just the, I don't know, like, I think I'm into certain kind of fetishes and kinks, like what I know. And I like some of the central play. And I like playing games and I like being creative and fun. There's a DOM that I had, you know, 3 sessions with recently. And she's really creative. And I leave the sessions to her. So usually without some other DOMs, I would like write role play scripts and we'll go with that. But this DOM, I just let her crack on and do what she wants. But I think she's got to understand what I enjoy. And so she just cracks on with it. So in one of our sessions, we played articulate, while she put me on a fuck machine. And every time I got the answer right, she would turn up the tempo.
Gotcha.
Harder and harder. So the most basic question would seem like really impossible to answer. Like, I think one of them was like, it's green and soft, and I think it's a fruit or something. Like, I think the answer was avocado. I couldn't even think of it. I was like, what? It's just like, yeah. But and then there's, you know, if you get a certain amount of rights, then you'll be able to, you know, worship her feet, then gag. Then we did Jenga, like with a predicament bondage kind of thing. So it's just like all these different kind of kinks and experiment, like this stuff I haven't really done before, like predicament bondage and stuff like that. So it was good to experiment with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And not even expect it, because I didn't expect that. I didn't ask for it. And there's another DOM like that as well, where I don't really tell her what. Like, had one session with her, then when I went to my next session, she just does random things that I don't expect. And I love that, because I go into it and, you know, she always finds a way that when I leave the session, you know, I'm feeling like, wow, like, this is amazing. And I didn't have no idea of it. So sometimes when you go in and you write a role play script, you might expect it to be a certain way, like you've played in your head. But when you haven't got any vision of the session and you just go into it with an open mind and you let go and you're like certain things and you try something new, you might be like, oh, holy fuck, that was wicked. You know?
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally being open-minded and surprised. It's kind of, in a way, it's also like being blindfolded. You don't really know what's going to happen to you. And so everything is just this wonderful, surprising experience. Or, you know, it could be bad too, but it's just, yeah, you don't have the preconceived notions of what you're looking at when you're blindfolded. So to me, it reminds me of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it exactly is. And the session I was one of the dorm, that's what she did. She blindfolded me and said, do you trust me? And I said, yeah. She was like, well, just follow me and I'm going to do various things to you. And I was like, cool.
Right. You know? So tell me about your groups that you run, your support groups. I'm interested to know what you do and where do you post them and how do you help people?
So we got there's a submissive men's group on Twitter and on Discord. So it started off with Twitter. One day I just wanted to be like, you know what? I want to try and get group of men together. And I want us to support each other and we can help one another out. Like if someone, you know, had a question about something, it was a newbie sub, at least there's a group there that we can come together and we can support one another. Because I didn't see anything else like that. I think someone said to me that there are other groups, but I didn't find them. So I put a tweet out there. I created a submissive group. So I've created a submissive group. Who wants to join? And you know, at first I got like, 10 people that said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I think one of the doms repeated it. Then I had something like 35 people in the space of 2 days. And I was like, shit. And then it went up to about 75 people, which is the maximum users of Twitter, of a private group.
Okay.
I had to find another solution to it. One of the guys said, well, let's do a Discord. And I was like, look, I ain't very techie, man. Are you able to do that? So we've got two groups now. We've got one with Discord where we've broken it up into like lifestyle, prodoms, you know, this and that, chastity, whatever it's got to be. And then the Twitter is just an open chat.
Okay.
And it's just good because we add new people into the group and some of them are so experienced. Like more experienced than I am. Like they've got 20 years experience, 15 years experience.
Wow.
So like crazy. So like I'm a baby compared to them. I've only been teaching for my fourth year now, coming into it. So like, and hearing them and what they've been through and stuff like that. And they're for positive engagement to help each other out. You know what I mean? Right. The submissive groups are meant to bring people together. You know what I mean? That either, you know, there's some people that are in it because they feel ashamed and they want support. There's other people in there suffering with mental health. You know, we've got quite a lot of men in there that have said that they're really suffering mentally really badly. And they just want someone to talk to. I'm not always there to respond all the time. You know, I've got a family, you know, I do other things. So the other members of the groups might, you know, go in there and be like, hey, dude, you know, I've been through this. This is what you, you know. So it's really nice. So I think we've got a good group in there. At the moment, I think as it stands, I think there's like 65 members. So there's a few people that came out of it. But yeah, I regularly go in there just to check in on them, have good chats with them. And it's just a great group.
So if people want to join that, is there a fee or are they free to join?
We charge a new membership fee is £1 million. No, I'm just joking. No, it's completely free.
Okay.
Yeah, it's completely free. It's just there for community work. You know, so anyone wanted to join, they can just drop me a message on, they can DM me Twitter or send me an email, podophilius@gmail.com, and I'll just add you to the group, you know, and I can add you to either or. If you have a Discord, I'll put you to the Discord. If you want to go just on the Twitter, you can go to Twitter, you can go on both. It's up, completely up to you which platform you prefer.
Are you Podophilius on all of the platforms or do you have different names?
So on Twitter, my first Twitter got banned. I have no idea why.
Twitter.
Yeah, I was just too kinky for them. my name is spelled Podophilius. But when I got my Twitter, that's on Instagram. But when I got my account banned on Twitter, I changed it to an F instead of the PH.
So it's
Podophilius.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What advice do you have for men who believe they're submissive and are maybe hiding it or ashamed of it? What can they do? I mean, obviously they can join your groups, but since you've been through this, what would you advise people?
I guess it depends on, it's such a difficult question. And before I would just say embrace it. And that is probably what someone has to do, because it will drive them mad. Like, if I think about it now, the way I was before I visited a dom, I was obsessive about just being dominated. Like, you know, you think about it, you dream about it every night. You go to bed sometimes because you're having like dream after dream. You're jerking off to porn, you know what I mean? It's just like, I jerked off like 7 times a day, man. Like, what is this shit? I've got other things to do. And you know what I mean? It's like my sexual desires are actually taking over me, kind of thing. So I needed some embrace just to get it out of my system. But now that I've embraced it, I don't obsess over it. And I'm a different person now.
Wow.
Like, in a way, it's like, I think now, and this is like in my new book, if this is something that I'm addressing, is to be more than your sexual desires. You know what I mean? It's not just about exploring and embracing. It's it's deeper than that. It's actually about being happy within. Because if you go into a session and you're mentally not with it, that shit's going to fuck you up. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go into a session. You've got all these mental things going on in your head. And especially if, like, there's something that happens between you and the dom in that session, like in a negative way or whatever, or it doesn't go your way or whatever it is, you can go into a sub-trip. You can't, got no one to speak to, you know, if you're not a part of a group or whatever, or you don't know anyone. And then it really can mess you up. So I think, first of all, first bit of advice is go within. Get in touch with your, you know, figure out who you are. Maybe start some meditation, calm your mind down, you know, show yourself some love, be kind to yourself, you know, so be kind to you. Make sure that you love yourself and who you are inside. And, you know, and then once you get to that level and you feel good about yourself, then go and embrace it. Because if you embrace it with a mind that's scattered and scrambled, then I think you're going to have, because that's what happened to me. When I first went into it, my mind was a bit all over the place. My sub-drops were really bad. I struggled. You know, I changed my lifestyle to actually help me with it. You know what I mean? I didn't message my dom and say, by the way, I'm sorry, sub-drop. I didn't do any of that. So I went into sub-drop meditation, affirmations. I had to do submissive affirmations. You know?
Okay.
I didn't know about it. I had to do a lot of discipline work. Like, I used to wake up around 7 o'clock, whatever it was. I started waking up at 4:30 in the morning so I could meditate, write, and do other things to build a self-discipline so I can find that self-love within me, because I couldn't do it at other times because I had kids around and stuff like that. So I think most important is try to discover you, your self-love. You know, go within first before you go into kink. And then once you've discovered yourself, then go into kink.
Absolutely. The best idea ever. I have heard so many people say that some people dive into kink, or they dive into something without investigating it first or thinking about it or thinking about this, usually ends up in disaster.
Look, I'll tell you what, like, sometimes when you do that shit, I'm the kind of person that does that. I don't think about stuff, you know, and I fuck up a lot, you know, because I just delve into things, you know, I don't think about it. I just go into it. Like, I did chastity, for example, in October, you know, and I never put on a chastity device. The first time I went into a chastity device was the day before October. And it was a fucking nightmare because the device kept falling off. You know, I was disciplined enough to do it, but I had so many problems with the devices. I never did my research. I was just like, yeah, I've got this. I'm disciplined. I never realized I was going to have so many issues with a device. You know, sometimes, like, going into the deep end, you know, no pun intended there, going into the deep end is a you know, it's hard, but I think you learn that way better. And I think a lot
of things are
always going into the deep end. You know, I don't think about things. I just do them. I just act on it. And then and then I fuck up about something or something didn't happen. But then you learn from it. You become wiser. So but it depends on what kind of person you are. Because if you're you know, you take that shit personally, it can really fuck you up because you've got
to.
It's not what you expected, and it could be, you know, a traumatizing experience. Like, I've had it, like, I won't speak about it, but certain things happen in sessions that traumatized me, and I realized I had trapped trauma inside of me. So a lot of inner work, and I only knew about it because it kept popping up in my thoughts, for one, but then I realized something happened to me within another session, and then I realized what was going on in my head. So I had to literally take a step back and start analyzing myself and be like, shit. Then I realized the root of where it came from. So if you have, you know, trauma doesn't mean necessarily like, you know, someone's beating you up, whatever. Trauma can be a bad experience that is a repetition in your brain. And, you know, your subconscious mind. And if you don't deal with that shit, it can be really bad. So, you know, this is why stuff like journaling for submissive men is good, because you get to the deep root of these things.
Do you mean that you found a repressed memory, or do you mean something different when you said something you said in there made me think you were talking about a repressed memory? Is that what you meant or no?
It was something that happened in a session that basically I didn't realize how traumatic it was to me in another session when I broke down into something, and then I realized the feeling that it gave me. So then I started journaling about it, started asking myself a bunch of questions to figure out what the root cause was.
Mm. So very interesting.
It's kind of, you know, this is why being a submissive, where there is some shame there or there's something going on more in the mind, I think inner work has to come with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go in it with the right mind, then it can screw you up. So that's why I make sure now that I've got a process going on. I meditate, you know, I do my affirmations, I feel it, I go in there with just an open mind, I journal about things, I speak openly in my mind about it. If I feel an anger, if I feel an emotion, whatever that emotion is, I try and just feel it and just sit with it and then let it go, rather than let it just take over my brain.
And then you need complete and open communication with the Dom, right? Absolutely. I mean, like,
it depends on the Dom. Like, you know, some Doms, when you finish, this is a conversation we have with submissive men as well, because I think there's a lot of subs that I know out there is that when they fall into these sub traps, we don't actually talk to our Doms.
Mm.
And the reason why is because they've just given us all this time and we don't want to bother them. You know what I mean? It's like we don't want to become a burden.
Yeah.
So when I was going through shit, I didn't text my Doms and be like, you know what, by the way, like, I'm going through a shitty time where I feel like really whatever. Like, can I chat with you about it? Because I was like, you know what? I don't really want to bother her, to be fair. She's got her life. This is out of session now. It's like working hours. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
we weren't working hours during this time. Now you're out of working hours. It's like, you know, if I used to be in a stage and someone calls me on a Sunday, I'm like, damn, you're going to call me on a Sunday with my family now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yep.
I try to respect their boundaries. You know, some said to me, like, you can message me whenever kind of thing. But I don't really take that kind of literal. I'll be like, yeah, that's just kind of a thing that people kind of say. So I didn't really want to bother it. So I figured out that I didn't really want to be dependent on anyone else either. I want to become dependent on myself. So if I'm having a problem with myself in my mind, instead of bothering someone else about it, I'd rather try and figure it out myself. And to be fair, I think that way, I've actually figured out a lot about myself. And I think if, you know, continuing to go that way, I think is the best solution, is doing the inner work yourself.
And so you really recommend the journaling process?
It's various things, really. It's the journaling, it's calming the mind down, however you want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do meditation, find some other form, you know, anything, like something, even if you get like a coloring book and you write with your non-writing hand, whatever, you're concentrating and you're doing it and you're calming your mind down without even realizing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Just feel like that. Just calm that mind down of yours. Stop the overthinking.
Take yourself out of your normal doing.
Exactly. If you get an emotion, whatever it is, whether it's anger or whatever, you know, I keep saying anger because I was in anger. It's one of the topics of my new book that I was just writing.
It's
one of emotions because I'm telling a story for emotions, right? So you just have to feel it and then let it go. What a lot of people do is that they overthink it, play the scenario, and I'm guilty of this. I've done it many times. You play that scenario over and over again, try and change it, try and do this, try and do that. The scenario is not going to change. So if you cannot think about all that kind of stuff, put it on the back foot and just concentrate on being you and being yourself and go into a session open-minded, free, and you're gonna have a whirl of a time. And then also, you notice that you probably won't even have any sub drop. You'll just leave that session feeling elated, loving it, and you will be different. And most of my sessions, you know, in the last, say, I haven't had too many sessions last year, but I know, like, the last three sessions I had, apart from one, I guess, four, I will say, three of them in there, I just came out feeling elated, you know, and I didn't have any, nothing.
That's nice. That's really nice. So that's what you want, right? You want to come out of it elated. Absolutely. And just feeling awesome.
But it's all about mindset. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been just fascinating. So if people want to find those groups, they can go to your website, right? Is that where it is?
It's not on my website, but it's on Twitter and Discord. But they just drop me an email at podophilius@gmail.com, say, Pod, I want to be added to that group. Or they could drop me a DM on Twitter or on Instagram even, and then I'll just get them added to the groups.
Awesome. Was there anything we haven't talked about that you wanted to address or talk about before we end our chat?
I'm writing a new book at the moment. Just wanted to just say something. I don't know if I just mentioned it, but it's called Sexual Equanimity, and it's Finding Mindfulness in Sexuality. So the book is a journal, a big, big, big journal, and it's going to be told through emotions. So
it's a journal for people to use, in other words, kind of like?
No. So I'm writing the journal.
Okay, I see. So they read it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like talking about my experiences in a way, or the person writing it. It's going to be broken up into one big journal, dialogue of past conversations to tell the story. And then every chapter will have a rap song in there because I just love rhyming. So, but for the people that are not into rhyming, they can actually skip that whole bit if they don't want it, because it doesn't affect the story, because which performed is strictly just rhymes. And if people are not into that kind of stuff, then, you know, I mean, it might be too left field for them. So with this book, it's going to give a bit of everything. It's going to be kind of deep. And I wrote this one for the BDSM community. It's also good for vanilla people because it's going to be educational as well.
That sounds fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have a name for it yet, or is it still in the works?
It's called Sexual Equanimity.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Awesome. This has been so interesting. And I just love that I can put this out in the world and people can try to understand more. People can identify. People could join your groups and get help. I mean, I think that's just what a wonderful thing you're doing. You know, and like you said, you're kind of new to this, but you're the one instigating these groups. So you're making a big dent and you're doing a great thing for people.
Thank you. That's exactly what I just want to do. I'm trying to reach out to that 6-year-old version of me, you know, 18-year-old, 15, the person who just felt like he wanted to commit suicide and he just felt like he was useless. And if I can get to that person and be like, hey, dude, you're cool, man. You don't have to worry about this shit. You're going to be fine.
Absolutely.
Kinky ain't that bad, man. You know, having a feet fetish is actually quite common than you think. You know what I mean? But if I can just get to these people, and even if it's not those people and just experienced people, those experienced people in the group, how other people do feel like that. So
what a great resource.
Bring the community together and with everybody, like podcasters and, you know, the artists, photographers. That's why I want to interview everybody that I can. That's on my website. There's about 70 interviews. Blog. I'm happy to interview you. So, and the reason I've got that there is just to provide education. So the most recent one I did was with the Dai Dynasty, and that was in relation to Shamanatrix. And I tried to get different interviews, like one about pegging, one about, you know, BDSM and spirituality. So the kink community are constantly learning. They understand things, you know what I mean? And if I can help put out all these different resources, whether it's through interviews, whether it's through blogs, whether it's storytelling, whether it's through books, then we are educating the younger generation or whoever it is that's coming up into this world. And we can hopefully give them the sources and the education that we didn't have when growing up. Let's face it, when we grew up, there was none of that. We were just growing up feeling shame because there was no resources. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Maybe we can be their teachers.
Absolutely. That is so true. Yeah. And yes, I totally agree. The world is changing. The world is, you know, things like these are popping up. It's just, it's good. And it makes me really sad to hear that, you know, some people may have been to the point where they're like suicidal or whatever, because they're so full of shame of how they feel, ashamed of how they feel. And that they could go to this group and be like, you know, get help, even if it's just someone to like text with for a few minutes and be like, okay, this is what I'm feeling. You know what I mean? Like they can just really gain so much from that. Yes.
So many people suffering with mental health at the moment.
There's yes.
Some it's kind of crazy because I think when men say that they're feeling suicidal, I don't know if they're taken completely seriously. I think because of the masculine culture, it's like, oh, come on, man, up, man. Come on. As if my stuff
right.
You know what I mean? It's like that kind of thing.
Yes.
It's like, it's crazy, you know what I mean? Like, my cousin's a part of a suicide group, you know what I mean? So, you know, just he's been going there for like years, and you know, it's just crazy. Like, you know, I think when men talk and they say that they feel in certain ways, I think we have to listen.
Yes, absolutely. And people can, you know, and people who don't have anyone to listen could join your group.
Absolutely, yeah. Like the group's, and that's why it's there. Just not just for suicide people.
That's not what we're saying.
It's not just there for mental health and all these negative emotions. It's there for the good and the fun as well. So, you know, one of the guys today, he just posted up and was like, I had a wicked session, like, and he was so like happy about it. And we're like, come on, bro. You know,
plus
I mean?
You can so, celebrate each other too. Celebrate your experiences.
Exactly. So I might have a session, like, look, I might tell them, look, I've got a session this Thursday. And everyone's like, good luck. And after session, yeah. Oh, how did the session go? Oh, it was amazing, man. This and that. Like, sometimes I say to them, look, if this session was amazing, write a blog on my website so we can promote that Dom. Because
yeah.
Website, I've got, I think, with Pro Dom's testimonials. Some of them.
Okay.
From other people, and it's there to promote DOMs to, you know, show like, you know, for if you haven't discovered this DOM, here it is, come to the website, you can learn about a session with it. And I know quite a few people who book sessions with a DOM via my website, reach out to me to tell me, but then the DOMs told me as well. And it's always so beautiful to hear that that we're connecting people through a website.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, I will say that to them as well. Write a testimonial so we can promote that film as well. We get her picture, stick her on, you know, on Instagram, you know, put a little expert on there and see if we can basically, you know, show, you know, get her to a wider audience of who she is, you know, so people can, you know, see who the different DOMs are in this world.
And I have to say, the person I just interviewed, her name is Inanna Justice, and she... Yeah, so she collaborated on this book, The Heart of the Dominatrix, where she has 20, she interviewed, what's that?
I own that book, and I know Inanna Justice. I've interviewed Inanna Justice twice on my website, and she is freaking awesome. I love Inanna Justice. I had her on, I did a Twitter Spaces where, and we had her on there, but yeah, she's amazing, isn't she?
She is, and so I thought it was really cool that she interviewed 21 dominatrixes. I don't know how you say that, dominatrixes. Is that like a plural word? It seems like dominatrices.
Dominatrices or something like that, yeah. Doms.
From all of
it. Easier for us.
And she interviewed them from all around the world. I mean, that's a really cool thing. And the other person I just interviewed, I believe her name is Nikki French.
Of Nikki French, yeah.
So she'll be coming up soon. And I just wanted to mention both of those because they're both, you know, Inanna's already been on the podcast and then Nikki French is coming up. So people who are interested in this, they could, you know, listen to that and find out more about these particular DOMs. So,
touch on that as well. Inanna's book, The Heart of the Dominatrix, I'm reading that. And that is a freaking awesome book, you know.
Awesome. I love that.
You know, Inanna Justice, on my interview with her, says it's for women. But no, Inanna Justice is not just for women. It's for men as well, because men need to learn.
Absolutely.
To understand about DOMs. So I think it's for men and women. And I think it's such a, if a man doesn't understand about dominant women, he should pick up that book. Because
absolutely.
You know, you're hearing all the different voices and it's freaking awesome. Have you read the book?
Yes, I have not, but I've seen pictures and stuff because she sent me her package of, you know, her promotional package. So I got to see my pictures and stuff. And it's very interesting. I think it's a great project that she did. And just that they're all so different. I think that's just also showcase the different types that are out there and available is just really very interesting.
Absolutely. And she didn't just go for like a big name. She went for DOMs that, you know, that maybe have a niche, you know, in the certain thing that they have, which was freaking awesome.
Yes, absolutely. She was fascinating to talk to, as was Nikki French. So it's very interesting. And so thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I'm excited to put this out into the world.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, I love speaking to you and I hope your audience can learn a lot from this.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And I will put your links down in the podcast notes so that people can access your information and your book and all of that good stuff. So thank you so much. And you have an amazing day.
You have an amazing day as well. Thank you. Okay. Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it was enlightening for you. It opened your eyes. Maybe it helped you understand yourself more. Maybe it helped you understand someone in your life better. Either way, it's all good. We all need to be open to each other and not be so freaking judgmental. That's all I got to say. I'm going to get off my soapbox now, but be accepting of people. Don't be so judgmental and damning someone for what they like. Why? Just accept them, learn more about them. You don't have to call them abnormal or weird or anything like that. Why shame people? Why? Okay, getting off my box again. I started getting on it. I hope you have an amazing day, and I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something. Check out his content if you are someone in this particular life situation, or maybe someone in your life is in this particular situation, so you can learn more about them and support them and enjoy. Find a way to enjoy each other. There's always a way. There's always a way you can come together in collaboration and compromise and enjoy the fuck out of each other. Okay, if you like my content, I would love it if you checked it out. I will put the link tree down in the podcast show notes, links to my books, my audiobooks, and all my other content and my social media platforms, because I'm in a lot of places. You can check me out. I have free audiobooks. If you would like a review copy, you can request that through Story Origin app. And I have books on Book Sirens. If you would like to be looking at a review copy of one of my books, we're in hopes that if you get the free book, that you will be willing to write an honest review. That's kind of how it works. Well, thank you so much for listening to this. And don't forget to vote in the Golden Pigtails Smut Awards, open until February 28th, 2023. And thank you for listening. I hope you have a sexy fucking day. Don't forget to masturbate. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your body. We were given these organs for a reason, for enjoyment, pleasure. It will improve your sex life if you masturbate. It will improve your sex life if you accept yourself and improve blood flow down there, reduce stress, release amazing, helpful hormones. It seriously can make a huge difference in your life if you are orgasming. So fucking do it. Okay. You have an amazing, sexy fucking day. Love ya. Ready for some spring cleaning of your beard and groin hairs? Try out Manscaped products, where you can get 20% off with my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, to get 20% off and free shipping. In order to get the discount, use the promo code RUIN, R-U-A-N, to do that spring cleaning you get yourself ready for sexy times. Heat up your spring with a new shave, a new trim. Perhaps try going bare. Get more skin smacks in the bedroom, if you know what I mean.